are Locked On 49ers, your daily San Francisco 49ers podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Welcome to Locked On 49ers, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. It is a Tuesday episode here, draft week on Locked On 49ers, and you know what? It's time to drop my 2019 big board. So we're going to go over my top 50 overall players for the NFL draft on this episode of the show. Don't forget to subscribe, rate, review the show on the new Himalaya app. We're on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, and Spotify. You can find me on Twitter at BD Peacock. You can find all of the shows at LockedOn49ers.com. The streams are there. You can find where to subscribe there as well as other articles. And I'll put my top 50 and some of my positional rankings up there as well. Finalize my wide receivers today and my top 50 big board. And there might be some more players to watch and possibly some movement leading up to draft day here the last few days. But I think I've got it pretty well locked in how I feel about things here. So we'll go through all of that on today's show. Probably won't get to the full wide receiver rankings, but maybe we'll save that one for Thursday and or talk about any late breaking news. One of the items I was thinking about talking about on today's podcast was the John Lynch press conference, but listening to that, he did a pretty good job not really saying much. I will say there was one part of it, and I didn't cut the audio, but he was asked about trades and thinking about how they were looking at players and ranking players out being at pick number two. And he was talking about ranking players out that could be available a little bit later if they did take a trade. And then he said, like, number 10 overall. And I thought it was weird. It was like, okay, the Denver Broncos, that's a team that they have a great relationship with in that front office. Have they talked to the Denver Broncos about trading down? He specifically said number 10 overall and then quickly sort of changed his path of, I don't think it was a slip there that he let in anything slip about some trade talks he's had, but I'm sure he's fielded offers and I'm sure they've talked to a lot of the teams around them to either gauge interest with the 49ers calling those teams to say, hey, are you looking to come up, or teams calling them. So I think a lot of those conversations have happened, and maybe just because he is friendly with the Broncos, that number 10 was the pick that just sort of jumped out of his mouth. But I thought that was somewhat interesting. But mostly it was like, yeah, we're doing our due diligence. We're trying to get as much background on all these guys. Asked about why bringing in all the wide receivers. He said it's a really deep class and, you know, they needed to get to know all these guys. So one of the big things he talked about is how few players, I think it was 189 or so players on their draft board, less than usual. And he said it's going to be a lot harder to make this team, and that the 49ers, and I think that's one of the big things we talked about here on the show, is how they are getting deeper. This team's finally getting deeper. There's going to be a lot of competition for roster spots. There's not many starting positions open going into training camp this year. So it's going to be up to those players to prove they can earn playing time on this team, rather than in 2017 where all the rookies just played a ton because they had a pretty bare roster. So that bodes well for the 49ers being much deeper and much more talented top to bottom on the entire 53. So let's move on to the big board. I think it's no surprise to most listeners out there how I feel about the very, very top of the draft and my top tier of players. Tier number one, it consists of two guys. It has since the fall, and that is Nick Bosa, number one overall, and Quinnen Williams, number two overall. I think we've talked a lot about those two players. I'm sure I don't have to go too in-depth with those two guys, but Nick Bosa gets the edge in this tier of my top players because he is an edge, because of that. It's just harder to find the impact edge rushers than it is to find the impact interior players. And I think a lot of people at the end of this process are going to have Quinnen Williams as the top player in this draft. I think he might be cleaner across the board because the lack of injuries. Nick Bosa's had some injuries, although Quinnen Williams is a one-year starter, and he really only played 1 year of college football as a redshirt sophomore, even though it was a dominating year of football for Alabama. But glowing reports from teams talking about interviews, how those went with Quinnen Williams, a smart player. He's super instinctive. One of the craziest things when you watch Quinnen Williams play is it's like he's got eyes in the back of his head. He knows where the ball is at all times. It's amazing. He fights through double teams, takes them on, really good with his hands. Just he can just do a lot of everything. Short area burst and lateral agility. And we saw him throw down crazy times at the combine. One of the better workouts in the last 15 years for an interior defensive lineman. So Quinnen Williams is a pretty clean prospect across the board. And I'm not going to fight you if you say you have Quinnen Williams number one on your draft board. I have him pretty much tied overall, but positional scarcity of that edge position has Nick Bosa for me number one and Quinnen Williams number two. And then there's quite a large gap to the rest of these guys. And last year when I did this, and in years past doing big boards for the 49ers, when I didn't think they had a need for a quarterback, I didn't really include quarterbacks, but I kind of wanted to put some quarterbacks in here just because it's more of my big board and with a 49ers tint, right? It's just a little bit of a 49ers lens on how I view the big board here, but I want to include some quarterbacks just so we kind of know where those stand and where they would be if the 49ers didn't have one. And I think in this spot, number three overall, it sort of delineates where that big chasm is between tier one and tier two, because Kyler Murray is the top player in my tier two here as the number three overall prospect. And basically what I'm saying here by putting Kyler Murray number three overall is I know he's a dynamic player. He's not quite the stud quarterback that I would put him number one overall above that top tier of players like Bosa and Quinnen Williams. Like say if like Andrew Luck, who's I think got the probably the, I don't have a number grade for it, but since I've followed the draft closely, Andrew Luck's by far the highest graded player and the most valuable player, I think, coming out of college that I've seen, and he would be the number one player on any draft board. But in this situation, Kyler Murray, just due to size, doing the one-year player, I still have questions, and I can't believe this hasn't been brought up a lot since he said he's going to focus on football. It's one thing in for a couple of months or in one interview to be like, yeah, okay, I'm going to play football. And everyone's like, okay, well, that's done. I don't know. Like, what about when he has some adversity? He goes to the Cardinals. They're a bad team. He gets beat up. He's losing. And he's like, man, I got this baseball thing. I could just go collect $5 million real quick and go play baseball if this doesn't work out. You know, he just in interviews, he's never wowed me. And so I do have a little bit of a question about Kyler Murray because there's the size and there's just enough. It's not like I'm worried about that with him. There's just enough of a question there where he can't be that tier one quarterback for me. But he does slot in here in this gap between tier one and tier two just because he is a quarterback, because he is so dynamic. He's such a great runner and he's got such a great arm and he can make all the throws and he makes some wild plays. And we've already seen Baker Mayfield go from that Oklahoma program to the NFL and have great success. And so seeing Kyler Murray, who was not quite as good as Baker Mayfield in college, it makes it easier to see that path to him being a good pro quarterback, but not in my top tier. But I'm going to put him here at number three overall, because if he were a quarterback needy team, I could still see the argument where you say, no, these players are too good. These are blue chippers and Nick Bosa, Quinnen Williams. But then when you start comparing the quarterback position with the rest of the guys in my tier two, if you were a quarterback needy team, then that argument probably wouldn't hold as much water. And it's like, yeah, we got to go with the quarterback here. Number four overall. This might surprise some people. And it surprises myself a little bit with the way I've talked about this prospect. And I had to fight so many people all basically since, I guess, November. I've had to fight people about Josh Allen. And you might be surprised that Josh Allen shows up at number four, that he's this high on my list, because I've had to fight people off saying, no, Quinnen Williams is the better prospect. If you're at two, Nick Bosa goes one, you draft Quinnen Williams. And people hated that when I first started talking about it. I had to fight so many people about it. And now it's almost like everyone's completely convinced about Quinnen Williams now. And enough people have shot holes in Josh Allen to where people are starting to be like, oh yeah, well, of course Quinnen Williams is one of the best prospects in this draft, and you would take him over Josh Allen. And so it's kind of mind-blowing to see how people have shifted in that mindset. And I know there is still people that are on the Josh Allen bandwagon, that are part of the Josh Allen hive, and I see what they like. And I like Josh Allen, and that's what I've always talked about with him, is that I like Josh Allen, I just like a few players better, and a lot better. There is some bust potential here with Josh Allen, but here's why I have him here above some other players. I would be betting for Josh Allen. I would be betting on his athleticism. He showed up at the combine, really impressed me with what he, how he was put together. He showed up just under 6'5", 260 pounds, and thick throughout his body. And even though he plays sort of a finesse pass rush role in college, he's still new to being that pass rusher, and he can win with some speed, and he's got a little dip and rip move, and that's about it as a pass rusher. You have to squint a little bit, but seeing his body type, you think, man, he should be able to develop more power moves, more varied rush, develop a little long arm move, convert more speed to power because he has, you know, explosive athleticism, and he's got some pretty good size. Develop some counter moves when that initial speed rush is stoned, and that happened often, and he didn't really have much to go to after that if he didn't just win that insta-sack. Above all of it with Josh Allen, I'd be betting on that work ethic that he's displayed since he was, you know, going from that high school wide receiver to now being a sort of an outside linebacker slash defensive end edge player. Betting on that work ethic that he's going to reach that ceiling that he has and that he will develop those pass rush moves and become the player that I think a lot of people thought he already was and hoped he was. He's not quite that yet, but I'd be betting on that drive and that desire to be great and the hope that he could develop the rest of it. And with his body type and his athleticism, he has the tools to get there. And within the 49ers scheme, great fit, base down Sam linebacker, and then let him go after the quarterback from the edge and develop him as a pass rusher across from D Ford. And I know he's only two spots behind Quinnen Williams and three spots behind Nick Bosa, but I would be highly disappointed to get Josh Allen at number two. Wouldn't be super excited about him getting number three overall, let's say, if you're the New York Jets. I think there's a big drop there. Again, from one and two to three is a huge drop, or three and four. So Josh Allen would have to fall to a certain point after a trade down for the 49ers for me to really feel good about the selection of Josh Allen. And that goes for a few guys here in the rest of this tier two, which we will get to right after this. Okay, let's finish up some of this big board here. I can't take as much time with each one of these players and explaining them all. I think if you listen to the show, you know how I feel about a lot of these guys. Number five was tough. It's really close between Josh Allen and Brian Burns, the edge player from Florida State here. The one thing, and really the only thing, that put Josh Allen ahead of Brian Burns here is, you know, the well-documented work ethic and sort of the culture changer that he was at Kentucky is important for Josh Allen, I think, for me. And it's important for, I think, John Lynch and Kyle Shanahan, too, when they do their evaluations, which is why I think they would have Josh Allen ahead of Brian Burns. But Brian Burns is also a finesse edge rusher like Josh Allen, but he doesn't have the body type that it's really easy to project him to be just that monster stud pass rusher in the NFL, because go look at the sack leaders. Go look at all the best pass rushers over the last 5-10 years. Not very many of them are pure finesse rushers. Von Miller's of the world, those are the guys that can get away with being pretty much a pure finesse type rusher. And Brian Burns is a freaky athletic guy, and he's really long. And the way he moved, he was one of the most wowing workouts that nobody talks about at the combine. The way he moved in field drills, looking like a wide receiver, and even with hands just snatching the ball out of the air, the way he moves in space, that was a wow workout. So I think teams that just run a straight 4-3 would just have no problem putting him at off-ball linebacker. But I think it's the 3-4 teams that would really fall in love with Josh Allen and Brian Burns, have them as that stand-up rusher on the outside. So Brian Burns, to me, is a really good prospect, should absolutely be in the conversation after a trade down. And it's just the size aspect, the looking ahead and projecting a little bit more of a power, speed-to-power game as a rusher for Brian Burns, a little bit more difficult than Josh Allen, which is why he's one spot behind him. Number six overall, Jonah Williams, offensive tackle from Alabama. I think most people have him a little bit lower. Earlier in the process, he was right in this range, top five, top 10 player, and he's sort of fallen. I think, you know, he's getting a bum rap for not having crazy long arms, 33 and a half inches. It's fine for me. I mean, that's where Joe Staley's at. So, you know, size-wise, he's right about where Joe Staley is. Not quite the athlete Joe Staley was coming out, but he is a good athlete. Great fit for what the 49ers do on offense. The zone blocking scheme, he can absolutely do all of those things. He would be a fantastic guard. Could be probably an all-pro level guard in the NFL, but also I would make him prove he's not a left tackle first, and I think he can be a left tackle in the NFL. And so if you're the 49ers and you're trading down and some of these edge guys are gone, you're looking at Jonah Williams like, okay, we've got a fantastic starter right away at guard. Joe Staley retires, bump him out to offensive tackle, and you're good to go. So that's why Jonah Williams is here for me at number six. Number seven, DK Metcalf, wide receiver out of Ole Miss. And this is just allowing yourself to wonder what DK could do in the 49ers scheme with Jimmy Garoppolo and Kyle Shanahan dialing up plays for him. When you're 6'4", 227 pounds or whatever he was, running 4.33, that's just stupid. That's ridiculous. He, and that speed and size shows up on film. He blows through press coverage and he runs by people all day. It's crazy what he can do. A little bit stiff, which worries me, which is why he's not ranked up here at the top of this tier or in tier number one. If he had some quicks to go with that, he might be number one on this list. But he's not Julio Jones. He's not Calvin Johnson, but he is a freak in his own right. And, you know, if he can just develop some pretty average route running ability in some of those short and intermediate areas and some more in-breaking and out-breaking sharper routes, then he'll be fine with his ability to just run away from people on, you know, go routes and post routes. And, you know, he's really good on comebacks and slants and some of the things he's already been asked to do, which is not a lot in college. And that's one of the other things, as he wasn't asked to do some of the things. It would be fun to see him play the A.J. Brown role from Ole Miss and get a chance to be in the slot and have two-way goes and have a little fun with him. He never got an opportunity to put that on film. So that's the big question mark with DK Metcalf. But the things he can do are obvious, and he should still continue to be able to do those things in the NFL. Number eight, Ed Oliver, defensive tackle out of Houston. He's a bowling ball, 6'1", 287 pounds, ran 4.7s. He's just that interior terror. You line him up right over the center and just let him go to town and you let him wreak havoc. And he just plays in the backfield all day long. Fun player, Ed Oliver. And sounding like Ed Oliver might actually go as high as number three overall to the Jets. That's the word this week, which is about where he was coming into the season. Sort of fell a little bit on a lot of draft boards and then has been rising back up. Number nine, Juwan Taylor, offensive tackle from Florida. He's an interesting one because, and this is where I struggled ranking all these guys, because a lot of these players in this second tier are really tight, and this is the end of my second tier. And when Juwan Taylor and Florida took on Kentucky and Josh Allen, Juwan Taylor was a clear winner. Like, he completely shut down Josh Allen. Josh Allen got a sack in that game against Florida, but it was against the left tackle on the other side. Juwan Taylor, really good in the run. He will maul you. He's got some athleticism. He's great balance, good pass blocker. And, you know, if you had a blank roster and you watched Juwan Taylor versus Josh Allen, you might have Juwan Taylor ahead of Josh Allen on your big board. And I wouldn't argue with you for that, because he beat him in that game. And he looked like the better prospect in that game. Okay, moving along here, tier number three, and this is quite a large tier, and this is where you would hope to see some of these players potentially sneaking down toward the 49ers at the top of the second round. Jeffrey Simmons, a defensive tackle, Mississippi State. He's got some off-field stuff he's working with, torn ACL. It's going to keep him out probably all of his rookie season, so that's going to drop him down, and he might be there in the second round because of that. Number 11, Devin White, linebacker out of LSU. Number 12, Devin Bush, linebacker out of Michigan. Those guys are so tight for me. I just had to put them back to back here near the top of tier three because, well, they're off-ball linebackers, or they might have been in tier two for me. Just, you know, less valuable position, but both 4.4 speed, both guys sideline to sideline range. And, you know, if you miss out on one, you just draft the other, and I don't think teams will feel bad about it. But, you know, Devin White, maybe just a touch more size, maybe a little bit better in coverage, so he's got that spot one higher than Devin Bush. Number 13, TJ Hockenson, tight end from Iowa. Do it all tight end. Super complete. Ball skills, will block you. Just a complete tight end. The fact that he's a tight end is what keeps him in tier three and not tier two for me. Byron Murphy, cornerback from Washington, is number 14 on my list. Cleveland Farrell, edge rusher from Clemson, is 15. Greedy Williams, another cornerback, LSU. 6'2", 187 pounds, skinny, fast, doesn't want to tackle people If you're looking for the press man type of a corner, he's your guy. The guy I have at 14, Byron Murphy, if you're looking for more of a zone corner, which the 49ers run more of, he might be your guy, even though he's not quite that length profile that the 49ers look for at cornerback. Byron Murphy, just a really good player, and he can do some man stuff as well. He could probably play slot, play outside. He's just a straight baller, and I like Byron Murphy quite a bit. Moving on, number 17, Montez Sweat from Mississippi State. Doesn't quite play to his crazy, crazy workout numbers. 6'5", 241 pounds, ran 4.41, which is just insane. He's a little bit tight on the field. He's basically the defensive version of DK Metcalf, where he's just super explosive in a straight line. A little bit tight laterally, but he can convert speed to power more often, as Cleveland Farrell can. Unlike the guys I have even higher it's a little bit safer picks, I think, especially Cleveland Farrell, one of the safer players in this draft as far as the edge guys go. Would be very surprised if he busts in the NFL, but he might not have that huge upside as a pass rusher that some of the other guys have. Montez Sweat, a little bit better against the run than some of the lighter players like Allen and Burns, but doesn't quite have that speed, that pass rushing upside, I don't think, but does display a little bit more power and can, a few times, will put a guy on his back with a bull rush. So I do like that about Montez Sweat's game. Let's see where we at. I guess we'll take it to the top 25 here, take a quick break, and then I'll run through the second 25, 26 through 50, a lot quicker in the final segment. Number 18 overall, Jerry Tillery. He is an interior pass rusher, 6'6", 295 pounds, very much like Chris Jones was a few years ago, being drafted to the Kansas City Chiefs. A really good pass rushing defensive tackle. He's got some injury stuff going on right now, which might be muting his value for a lot of teams, but I definitely think he's a first-round player. Christian Wilkins, another interior defensive lineman out of Clemson, really athletic guy. One of my favorite highlights is him basically playing a slot corner position almost, is where he was lined up. And breaking down in space, making a tackle at the line of scrimmage is really awesome to see. He's a versatile guy. Played a bunch of fullback for Clemson. They had a lot of fun with him, moving him around. 300-plus pounder that can really move well, and I think he's going to enjoy a pretty good NFL career. Number 20, the second wide receiver on this list, and a guy I really like. Some people have him as a third rounder. Some people have him as a first rounder. Hakeem Butler, wide receiver out of Iowa State. Number 21, center NC State, Garrett Bradbury. The guy that was lined up next to him at the Senior Bowl, Chris Lidstrom, guard from Boston College, is 22 on this list. Number 23, another quarterback makes an appearance, Dwayne Haskins, signal caller from Ohio State. I think he, you know, another one-year wonder. It'd be awesome to see Dwayne Haskins go back to school, see Kyler Murray go back to school and let them have another full year of development and just have another year under their belt, make you feel so much better about the evaluations. But I love what I saw from Dwayne Haskins from the neck up as a passer, which is the most important thing, making that transition to an NFL quarterback. Seeing him make reads as a really young starter in college, I think was impressive. He's got some good arm talent, has a funky delivery, which I don't care about at all. And I've always compared him to Phillip Rivers just because of the funky delivery. But, you know, well-built quarterback, got a good arm, funky delivery, but the ball comes out quickly. Ball comes out accurately. Doesn't have out-of-this-world arm strength, but a really good arm. And I think he could develop that instinct he plays with as a quarterback. And I like his prospects. And he's my number 23 player on this list. Number 24, Noah Fant, tight end from Iowa, TJ Hawkinson's teammate. The more athletic of the two, but not as good of a blocker, and I think it's pretty telling that TJ Hawkinson, the redshirt sophomore, basically became the starter and took over Noah Fant's role, even though Noah Fant was the guy with all the fanfare coming into the season. Tells you how Iowa felt about him and tells you how NFL people would probably feel about those two tight ends, even though Noah Fant might sneak into the first round himself. Number 25, Dalton Risner, offensive tackle from Kansas State. Tough and smart, not supremely athletic, but does fit sort of the baseline athleticism and height, weight, speed that you would need to be an NFL tackle. If he doesn't work out at right tackle in the NFL, could play guard or center and has starting experience at center as well. Player, I think, would definitely be on the 49ers radar in the second round if he's there. That could fill that role at guard early in his career and then maybe kick out to right tackle. Okay, the second half of my top 50 coming up right after this. Number 26 on my 2019 NFL Draft Big Board, Darnell Savage, a safety out of Maryland. He has grown on me. Every time I watch him, I like him more and more. He flies around the field, plays with ridiculous speed, and then timed with ridiculous speed at the combine, 4.36. He's only about 5'11", 190 pounds, not the biggest safety, but and played a little bit more close to the line of scrimmage, like a strong safety role at Maryland. I would like to see him play that center field role because I think he has plenty of range and can come downhill, takes great angles to the ball, creates turnovers, and could be that eraser going sideline to sideline. I would love to see Darnell Savage do that in a 49ers uniform. Right after him, another safety, Nasir Adderley out of Delaware. Didn't time great, but did display more a single high safety on tape in college. He was asked to do that a lot more than Darnell Savage was, so that makes that evaluation, I think, a little bit easier. He's got great ball skills, and he has some range in his own right. Deebo Samuel, number 28 on my list, wide receiver from South Carolina. Right after him, another wide receiver, A.J. Brown out of Ole Miss, D.K. Metcalf's teammate. Could be between a couple of those guys at wide receiver in the second round for the 49ers. I just have Deebo Samuel just ahead of A.J. Brown. Number 30, Chauncey Gardner-Johnson, a safety from Florida. Another one of these super rangy free safety types. Could probably play some cornerback and did at Florida in the NFL. Eric McCoy, center out of Texas A&M at 31. Number 32, Chase Winovich, edge rusher from Michigan. I could see him playing in a 3-4 or 4-3 as an edge player and really worked out well at the combine and helped himself. And he might have helped himself so much he's not on the board at 36 for the 49ers. And if the 49ers do go away from edge with their first pick in the draft, maybe round two, pick 36, Chase Winovich is a name to watch for the 49ers. Number 33, wide receiver N'Keal Harry out of Arizona State. Juan Thornhill, another super rangy athletic free safety from Virginia at 34. Marquise Brown can blaze, only 166 pounds, but as fast as anybody here. Wide receiver from Oklahoma, number 35. Andre Dillard, offensive tackle from Washington State, 36. Number 37, another safety, this time a strong safety, a true thumper, Jonathan Abram out of Mississippi State. Rashawn Gary shows up at number 38, edge rusher from Michigan, sort of an outside-in type of a player in the Solomon Thomas role. I think I have him a lot later than the NFL does just because he's really gifted athlete, super high recruit coming out of high school, the number one recruit in the nation, just has never played to that, and I think he is going to be a little bit of a tweener for my liking. Number 39, Irv Smith, tight end from Alabama. Number 40, DeAndre Baker, cornerback from Georgia. Kelvin Harmon, yet another wide receiver on this list, checks in at number 41 overall from NC State. Big-bodied possession type of wide receiver. Cody Ford, offensive tackle. Not a great fit for the 49ers. More of a power scheme offensive tackle. A big man, number 42 overall out of Oklahoma. Amani Oruwariye, cornerback from Penn State. Got some nice length. He's number 43 on my list. Number 44, Dexter Lawrence, nose tackle out of Clemson. Deontay Thompson checks in at number 45, free safety from Alabama. There's a chance Deontay Thompson actually starts to leak down toward the top of the third round. And if the 49ers do go, say, edge, wide receiver in one and two, I think maybe the guy with the best chance with the most upside that could be there at the top of the third round is Alabama's free safety, Deontay Thompson. Thin player, but has a lot of range. Sort of had an up and down season last year, but for sure has starting potential and a nice fit scheme-wise for the 49ers. Number 46, wide receiver out of UMass, Andy Isabella. Number 47, Rock Ya-Sin, a cornerback out of Temple. Another Senior Bowl guy to keep your eye on. Justin Lane, and by the way, Deebo Samuel ate Rock Ya-Sin's lunch at the Senior Bowl, which is one of the most impressive things because Rock Ya-Sin was the best cornerback on that South squad at the Senior Bowl and really looked good otherwise. But Deebo Samuel, I think, soundly won that battle in those one-on-ones. Number 48, a long cornerback, super athletic from Michigan State, but raw, Justin Lane. Emmanuel Hall, the ninth and final wide receiver in my top 50, number 49 out of Missouri, can flat out fly. And then player that has had maybe the worst pre-draft run-up, the worst offseason of all of these prospects, Ja'Kai Polite, edge rusher slash outside linebacker out of Florida, a player that I thought for sure based on his tape at Florida this year was going to be a first round pick. And I think he'll be there maybe on day three because he's had that bad of a run here. But just based on the tape, I had to slip him here into the end of my top 50. I don't think he's going to end up going in the top 50 players. If you get the player you saw in 2018 at Florida flying off the edge and getting after quarterbacks and creating turnovers, and he was such a fun player to watch, so much burst, so much athleticism, shows up out of shape, like literally had a, it looked like a little bit of a gut even sticking out of his, you know, those tight shirts they wear at the combine, ran like an offensive lineman as far as his timing goes, then had some sort of an injury, then worked out his pro day, and his numbers were even worse at his pro day. So huge red flags there about work ethic with Jakai Polite, and the NFL people are going to hate that, and he's going to take a large tumble. But if he gets his head right and becomes the player in the NFL that he was in 2018 at Florida flying off the edge, then he would absolutely be worth a top 50 selection. And so I had to give the nod to him here to end this top 50 on my big board because I liked him so much and he's just had such a rough go. And it's going to be interesting to see how far Jakai Polite falls on draft day. Okay, that's going to do it for this episode of Locked On 49ers, my official 2019 NFL draft big board with a mostly 49ers focus. And it's pretty much going to be the big board I'm going to be working on for my 49ers shadow draft, and there definitely is some movement there and some wiggle room within tiers. One thing I do is, you know, I tier this out, so I don't want to jump tiers. I don't want to miss out on talent by not taking a player that's in one tier and dropping down because of need, but if you're within the same tier, then there is some movement there and positional scarcity or need can make a difference and make you draft one player over another that's ranked very close in the same tier. So that's my top 50. Thanks everybody for listening. Be back tomorrow with Mr. Nick Winkler, the final pre-draft Winky Wednesday, dipping into that mailbag, talking about all the latest news in the draft run-up. There's probably going to be rumors flying around just about every day. So we'll get into all of those right here on Locked On 49ers.